From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment, the home edition. I'm Elvis Mitchell. I met my guest today, and I guess it was a screening of Orange is the New Black at the Paley Center in New York, and been following her since then. And the thing you have to note about her as an actor is how immediately vivid she is, and how her characters so often react to the way people react to them. She's since won 2 Emmys in 2 different categories. But more importantly, she's now starring in a show on HBO, the reboot of In Treatment. I'm, of course, talking to Uzo Aduba. Thank you so much, Uzo, for being here. It's such a pleasure to be talking to you.
Thank you. It's so great to be here with you, Elvis.
And I was saying, you know, it's a show starring a Black woman doing medical work from her home, or let's just say health work from her home in Baldwin Hills. This feels like the beginning of a new century in television to me.
Yeah, you know, when have we seen that displayed? I don't know if we have, but it's exciting. It's great that, you know, the merger of therapy, you know, under a Black female therapist, therapy under a Black female therapist who's running her practice out of Baldwin Hills. This is all very new for television, but also very exciting and hopefully sparks a conversation.
It does, too, because, I mean, I guess we can talk a little bit about your character here in this version of In Treatment. And, you know, when we first meet her, you know, she's basically doing a session in the Eladio episode, basically talking on the phone. And, you know, we know you from doing ensemble work, and just sort of see, you know, you handle yourself and to see what is in effect a kind of a one-hander, two-hander in that first episode of Eladio is really exciting to watch. And I wonder what you thought about that when you saw the script for that episode.
It was great, you know? I mean, it was exciting to watch, to do that. To work with Anthony is obviously great. He's such a great, sweet guy and an incredible talent as well. As are the rest of the cast in the show, who are all phenomenal. John Benjamin Hickey and Quintessa Suidel and Liza Colon-Zayas and Joel Kinnaman. We had a great group. And to be able to, episode after episode after episode, to do these two-handers with each other, it was exciting and hard work. You know, you could just feel everybody's dedication. You know, that first day of filming with Anthony, you know, he's giving his whole heart, and we're really finding that rhythm of how to create this relationship between doctor and patient, and then continuing that relationship on with each patient in hopes of really meeting them where their needs are.
It's so interesting because I just find myself struck by the quality of listening in these roles you've done. And I was thinking about the way, as Shirley Chisholm, she's aware of every word she's speaking, and also the way that people are paying attention to her. And it's not dissimilar for what you're doing in this show, because these characters are also asking themselves about why. At some point, each character in these treatments, if I can use that word, ask themselves out loud to you why they're there.
Yeah, which is, you know, which is what brought me here, you know, to doing the show. It really is the question, why do people go to therapy? That I think I was interested in finding the answer to. And I think we as people often are exploring within ourselves while in session. If we go to therapy, I go to therapy, you know, to try and answer, locate the thing that has brought us here, each of us here. And it's the unpacking of that question that really starts the discovery for each of us into ourselves, our authentic selves, and why we are the way we are. And that was exciting to watch and read and play.
I think it's interesting too. And I don't know how familiar with the previous iteration of the show. It was a little more adversarial. But here, it reveals that that question, especially I think now, given where we are, people's way of saying, what's wrong with me? I mean, one way or another. I mean, you talked about John Benjamin Hickey, who is alternately charming and aggressive. But then, you know, Eladio Anthony's character is just trying to figure out who and what he is, especially as he's like dealing with, he's a caregiver himself and dealing with patients and being in this place that's not his home. And we feel that disconnect between his not being in a place where he can be himself, but you being in a place where you can be yourself, but you're having to be somebody else. I mean, there are so many different dynamics playing in these situations where everybody's in effect asking themselves in front of your character, what's wrong with me? Why am I here?
Yeah, and I would say, you know, with each of them, I feel like there is a different way of framing that exact question. With an Eladio, it feels more like, can you help me? To Colin is, what do you think is wrong with me? To Alayla is, why do I have to be this way? They all ultimately are hoping for answers throughout this process, including Brooke, by the way.
I was going to say, we haven't even gotten to Brooke's issues and dealing with her own confessional.
You know, exactly. It's the searching, you know. I think that there's the searching we have out in the world, but then there's this internal search that each of these people are in pursuit of. And I think that's what I thought Joshua Allen and Jen Scher, who were our showrunners and head writers on this iteration of In Treatment, did so well, is that no one was free of that search, including Brooke. Everyone was looking for answers throughout this process. And I think getting to the end of it, for me anyway, what I learned is that life is a process, that we are all just, we're in treatment, these characters, but we're also in process.
It's funny you say, because I felt like so much of it's about process too. You're talking about the Layla's things and that first time in there, basically. It's almost like watching an actor's workshop when you're doing the Easter stuff. And it's not only a way for a therapist to get a younger patient, and she's a teenager, this patient, to distract her from dealing with that, but it's also, I was fascinated. That's like watching an acting exercise when you're doing something to distract from the fact that there is a goal in mind for these characters.
100%. And I think, again, you know, going back to the beauty of the writing and the stories, the crafting of the stories in the show, they really articulate the different ways that therapists, and specifically this therapist, uses tactics to bring the patient closer to their truth, whether it's the candy and a mindless activity with Layla to switching seats with Colin because, you know, feigning a back injury, you know, and giving him her seat and sitting in on the patient's couch instead. That what I think she does so well, she is excellent at her job, even though we are meeting her at a really challenging point in her life. She is really, really great at identifying what it is her patients need from her, have come in here looking for from her, and helping to get them to that place of truth and honesty with themselves in as painless a way as possible.
It's The Treatment. We're talking about In Treatment with its star, Uzo Aduba. I'm so struck by you as an actor, the quality your characters give to listening. And I was thinking about the difference between, you know, Suzanne or Shirley Chisholm, the way they listen, also their awareness of their effect on the person that they're talking to. And it really comes into play in an interesting way with Brooke, especially when we see her with her sponsor. And she's almost doing some of the things we see, those ways of basically trying to not talk about herself that her patients are doing. And I want to talk to you about that because I'm really struck by you as a listener and as an actor. And these are, you played so many characters that we know you for who have an awareness of the effect they have on other people.
Yeah, my primary goal in the listening was to be laser focused and give my full attention both to the characters within each episode, but also to my, you know, my fellow castmates, that they had my full attention. That was my main aim, and that everything that they were saying, but also more important sometimes what they were not saying, I was here to be present for that experience, that expression. Because I think for me, a lot of it was wanting to make sure that each patient knew that they were being heard and that their pain was being seen, and wanting to help them navigate their way through those feelings as best and as easily as possible. Brooke is not so great at doing that for herself. She practices a lot of, we're meeting her at a challenging point in her life where instead of sharing, she's doing a lot of avoidance, which I thought was interesting because she's able to cite some of those things in other characters, i.e. a Colin, she'll identify his avoidance, but yet we can watch her in her own life doing a lot of avoiding as well.
And she's really bad at it, by the way. Is that the fun of it, that she's really bad? Is she telegraphing how much she wants help and doesn't want to really ask for it? Because, again, I'm just so struck by the way she listens. It's like, wait a second, for somebody who pays that kind of attention and is aware of the weight of her words, for her to be clumsy at it is almost a cry for help.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, though she's excellent at her job, she's bringing a lot of her own self and stuff into the room as well, whether it's the relationship with Eladio and that sort of gray area she starts to tap into, the avoidance with and not willing to confront one's own accountability with Colin, to her seeing a lot of herself in Layla at that age, you know, in terms of expectation. She's not at her best in her personal life, I'll say. And, you know, I thought that was actually great that that was part of the story, because what it really, I guess, taught me was that therapists are just people too. They are just human beings. They are not all-knowing. They have their own critical mass of issues that they have to walk through their every day with as well. And they are, like all of us, just trying to make it to the other side of the day, you know? And that humanized her in a way that I think that maybe we don't always humanize therapists, and maybe should. So the burden maybe isn't so heavy that they're being tasked with carrying.
I guess I'm fascinated by that, because I thought that had to be one of the things that makes this attractive for you, is that somebody who is paying attention and is aware of the way these patients are playing her, because finally they're all looking to not be judged. In fact, when she's with her sponsor, her face is even less expressive than it is when she's with her patients.
Well, because she doesn't want to hear what Rita has to say. And she doesn't, she's not listening. And that wasn't by accident, because if she really was hearing what she was saying, you know, to Rita, she would have a lot more reactions than what she has shown. She's trying to figure out her life and where she is today, how she got here. And for me, you know, she is in a lot of pain when we meet Brooke at this moment. She's been in pain before. The death of her father that took her over the line, but please, no one understand, that well already had water in it before that. That levee was just barely holding on, waiting to break. The thing about Brooke is she has lived a great part of her life without addressing a lot of things that have happened in her life, that have she's been part of in her life, and we're meeting her when she has to confront all of those things.
Oh, I'm trying to be a good listener, too. We'll take a break. My guest is Uzo Aduba. She has won more Emmys than I have socks. She's currently starring in Treatment on HBO. It's The Treatment. There's more to come. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's The Treatment. I'm thrilled to be talking to my guest, Uzo Adubo, who's starring in the new iteration of In Treatment on HBO. What I was saying before, and you were kind of avoiding this in the same way that Brooke does, but I want you to talk about it a little bit, is we've seen you again playing Crazy Eyes, Suzanne, and Shirley Chisholm in Mrs. America, and now here as Brooke. And these are characters who are aware of their presence and aware of their impact on the people in a room. It's interesting to me to watch a woman of color play these people. All these are kind of pioneering roles because they're all people who step into situations and immediately the temperature of the room changes. We certainly saw it in Suzanne. She just didn't let on to people how much she knew initially. So it was the fun was watching you sort of unpeel all that and unravel that for us. But for Shirley Chisholm, and again, now for Brooke, these are people who, when they interact with others, they know the weight of their words. They know what their presence in the room means. And I want you to talk about doing this because it's very interesting sides of a woman of color to show on television and roughly in the last decade.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fantastic. I think it's great. I've enjoyed it and been grateful to tell these stories, highlight these examples of strong, capable, qualified women, Black women, who have, by the way, always been there, but are just now being seen. I think it's great. I think it helps to round out the fullness of our story as Black women, the fullness of our stories as Black people, and the fullness of our story as people in the world who are affecting change and impacting lives. Both of those women that you highlighted, Elvis, Representative Shirley Chisholm, and Dr. Brooke Taylor, these aren't women who set out to necessarily pioneer, I don't think, or teach. I think these are women who knew their abilities, they knew what they were capable of, and they knew what they were up against and did it anyway. And I think these were also women who had a deep desire to serve and let their lives be an offering of some kind. And I think that's why they were so, Shirley Chisholm as a real person, so impactful historically, Dr. Brooke Taylor, so effective in the lives of her patients.
It's interesting, too. I mean, that awareness I'm talking about, that physical awareness that all these characters have. With Shirley Chisholm, we see in sort of her stillness, and that when she moves her hands, when she makes a gesture, she understands that people are watching it. So she wants to make sure that it lands in the way that it needs to. And I want to ask you about it, because it's a, for me, in watching of it, it's a performance that called for an enormous amount of physical concentration.
I don't think that Shirley set out, like I said before, I don't think she set out to, like, I want to be the first. I think she knew she was as qualified and capable as anyone who had come before her and stood beside her. And I think she also knew she was someone who really wanted to make a difference, particularly for her people and community. I think she also is a smart enough and astute enough woman to know that her words matter, and how they are heard and received coming out of her mouth is important. And she was extremely intentional because her goal, her dream was also intentional in terms of the service work. So yeah, in the playing of that part, I know that she was a woman who wasn't a big person physically. She was a tiny lady, but packed a big punch, and she knew she was so quick, so quick-witted. She was a brilliant orator. She had a genius for wordsmithing, and she knew all of those things mattered. And she was so deliberate and specific with all of those things and how she presented herself out into the world and wanted to be seen because of that. Those were things that were incredibly important to me to make sure to capture in the playing of that part.
I think it's important to see so many different kinds of women that you played who are just completely there and demand to be seen and are not apologizing and are sort of like breaking out from the sort of still the kind of archetype we see of women of color in television. And that you brought this different kind of physicality to each of them. I mean, there's this glee and Suzanne's smile. I always thought she should be called Crazy Smile rather than Crazy Eyes, because that smile just, it encompassed so much. It's such a broad expanse of character. And like as you mentioned, Shirley Chisholm was a small woman, but by concentrating the character's physicality so much, she took up a different kind of space in your portrayal of it. And just seeing Brooke, who, it's interesting, you can watch her like stepping into her like her office living room dressed the way that she would normally be dressed at home, and see her that she feels slightly uncomfortable being dressed like that in her house. I mean, there are all these different kinds of sort of physical vibrancy to these women, and that's why I'm so impressed with the way you do it.
All of these women have their own soft spots. They're not perfect women, but I think what is clear about each of them is, or the characters that I guess I'm drawn to, is if they don't know it at the beginning, then they learn their value. At some point, they discover who they are in the story, or they come in knowing who they are in the story. I love that. Dr. Brooke, she is fighting for who she knows herself to be in the story, or who she has been made to believe she is. She might not know, she doesn't know it all the way in the beginning where we're seeing her. She had an idea of herself, and then when we meet her, she's a little standing on less firm ground, you know, about it. And it's, we're watching her dig her way back to who she is or who she wants to be or knows herself to be. I love that these women are all, they have frailties, but they also have incredible strength. And isn't that just living? Isn't that just human?
Well, it should be, because as you're talking about that, I was thinking about that great scene where she's sort of caught between Colin, who's just basically invaded her home, and Adam, who shows Joel Kinnaman, who shows up, and just as sort of what happens, it almost becomes designed for living. It becomes this kind of weird sort of social satire, this comedy of manners, where there's a lot at stake. And nobody's saying what they really think. And suddenly all the two of these guys are acting. And she just doesn't have patience for this, because she knows that after she gets Colin out, that she's got to deal with what this has stirred up in Adam. And there's certainly depths there that she doesn't want to like deal with at that particular moment. I mean, I think there's so much going on in that scene. And it's almost in some ways like the show built to that. And you're talking about us getting to know her.
Absolutely. Well, she's managing, you know, we're watching her manage right now. She's just managing. If you asked her how she is, I think her response would probably 9 times out of 10 be, I'm managing. Because she's trying to manage her relationship. She's trying to manage her patience. She's trying to manage her feelings. She's trying to manage feeling her feelings. And that has a shelf life.
You play the self-awareness of these characters. And they're all self-aware in ways I think I find are kind of profoundly different. And just as we were talking about this, wondering if there are moments or scenes or episodes in which you felt that you got, okay, now I got it. Or is this something you kind of felt from the outset and you were just allowing yourself to sort of deepen it, sort of scene by scene for the rest of us?
I think they had a keen awareness of their self-awareness. You know, I think starting first with, say, Shirley, it started for me with the costumes, really, that, okay, why this hair? Why these clothes? You know, why does she present this way? You know, in other words, I realized for myself, I said, oh, she needs to wear her hair this big and the clothes this loud, because otherwise no one would see her. She would be invisible in this room.
Wow.
Because she's not, she's a slight woman. She's a small woman. You know what I mean? And she's a Black woman in the 60s, 70s. You wouldn't even see her. So she needs to stand out even more. And then the other thing was when I was watching a documentary on her, and the very end when she was giving up her delegates and she just folded into her hands and started crying. And we had never seen that side of her before. I remember seeing and feeling such a youthfulness from her. And I thought, that is Shirley. That's the real Shirley Chisholm right there. And yes, that made me aware then of how aware she was of how she not only was viewed, but that there were eyeballs on her all the time when she stepped into this presidential run, even as senator. So I knew she was aware. She didn't show us any of that hardship, the challenges of that, of being the first in any of her interviews. All of her interviews were really, you know, perfect and steady and solid. And but she wanted it. And she knew that she was under a microscope. So I do think she knew that. And then with Brooke, I think absolutely. I think therapists all are aware, you know, have a keen awareness that as they are listening and watching their patients, I think they're also aware that they are also being observed as well to some degree, because you have patients looking for answers. Literally, people have come in this room looking for something. You know what I mean? And you are the source of that thing that they're looking for, you know? So I think she is also aware of the fact that she is one of the less than 5% of people who look like her in her profession. She's aware that her patients are coming in every day. She says in that first Brooke episode, day in and day out, these people come to me looking for answers and I don't know what to tell them, you know? So she is aware that people are searching for answers in her, and she is doing everything in her power to not give anything away as far as her own troubles are concerned.
Well, there's so much more we could be talking about, but I think we're out of time. So I can't thank you again enough for doing this.
Oh, thank you so much. And by the way, I love The Blacklist, if I've not said it 1,000 times before. Thank you for making that. That had a huge impact on my life many years ago. I remember watching that on HBO and was so inspired and just loved it.
That's very kind of you, and I'm inspired by watching you. My guest is multiple award winner Uzo Aduba. Her starring role, and she's deserved it for a long time, glad she's getting it, is on the new iteration of In Treatment on HBO. Our production staff include Desmond Taylor and Paul Smith. The show is edited by Rebecca Mooney, who's the producer. To better days, everybody. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment. Catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.